Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We continue our reading now from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 to 37. And here we read that Jesus does not discard the law. Instead, he interprets three of the commandments for his disciples, teaching that they are not mere rules, but the way to a right relationship with God and neighbor. Here is the reading from Matthew's Gospel. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable for judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, how lucky are we that the lectionary lands on this sermon from Jesus? And I'm not going to try to interpret each and every one of these topics, murder, anger, divorce, adultery, and oaths. But I do believe that they are all hinged together. We'll talk about that in a minute. Most of us would say, well, I don't do any of those things, so can we just move on to the next topic? Well, it's tempting, I understand. But unfortunately, we can't move on to the next topic. because it's important to examine why people do these things. And it all begins in the heart. I think it's pretty clear that Jesus is telling us the same thing. He reminds us in the very beginning of this passage, so when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, be reconciled first. In other words, before you come to the altar with your alms, your heart must be cleared with God. Now, I could not attempt this Sermon on the Mount sermon without first devoting the sermon today and around the topic of forbidden anger, a condition of the heart that is very dangerous and not to be confused with righteous anger. And I learned that at a very tender age, what forbidden anger is and what it can do. When I was 6 years old, I attended a one-room schoolhouse in Leota, Minnesota. Anybody know where that is? Didn't think so. It's remote. It's a military base up there. My dad was stationed at. Now, that was back in the 50s. Now, there's no way to describe this teacher that I had. Her name was Mrs. Tickle. Other than she was just plain mean. I mean it. Always yelling at us, very strict, and never smiled very much. There's just no other words to describe her. Well, one day, when the class was a bit out of control due to purple Kool-Aid that was falling out of a lunchbox in the back of the classroom onto the floor, all of us jumping out to see whose lunchbox was leaking. And she's trying to get everybody to sit down. I was the last one to stand up at my desk to join the kids. And suddenly, I was met with a hand striking me across the face. And I looked up, and to my horror, it was Mrs. Tickle, my teacher. Let me tell you, that was anything but a tickle. The sting of that slap and the sting of humiliation sat with me all that day and for a long time after. Even though my parents had her fired, I was pretty scarred by her rage. Oh, and one more thing. Just before she was fired and left her job, she handed out report cards. I failed kindergarten. Do you remember Robert Fulghum's "All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten"? Well, I learned a few things. I learned some things, but thank God I didn't learn all things in that one moment. I did learn a life lesson. I learned that forbidden anger and what it can do, it can turn to rage and it can harm others. So before you start thinking, oh, that's what's wrong with Pastor Donna, there's more. I also learned about healing. I was saved by love, the love of my parents, yes. And eventually we moved to Tennessee, and Mrs. Tickle was replaced by Mrs. Hurt. And can you imagine what I thought when I heard that name? She's going to kill me. I'm not going. And yes, they did allow me to move on to first grade. But my parents did some things behind the scenes to prepare me for my first day of school. And so on that first day, a terrified me entered the classroom, and immediately she took me by the hand. She patted me gently on the back. She took off her high heels, and she let me play dress up for the rest of the day. I got to wear her high heels. I'll never forget that. Eventually, this blessed teacher helped me gain trust and confidence in myself and in the school system. You'll be happy to know that I actually passed first grade. Now, that experience taught me how forbidden anger can harm others, including the person who's so angry. Anger itself is not a sin, but the strong emotion unrestrained can lead very quickly to sin. As God said to Cain, its desire is for you, but you must rule over it in Genesis 4:7. Forbidden anger is under all the actions that Jesus spoke about in his sermon today. Divorce, adultery, swearing oaths, all begins with the heart, and usually it's an angry heart. When we don't rule over angry hearts, it can lead to lust and rage and harm. You see, it isn't adultery or divorce that's necessarily the sin, because Moses allowed for it. You could give your wife a certificate of divorce. But Jesus went deeper than that. It's what's going on in the heart, influenced by anger that's out of control, and anger that's not resolved. Someone said to me this week, there'd be a lot fewer divorces or adultery if a spouse just took out the garbage more. Maybe sharing in other household responsibilities. Now, I've done a lot of premarital and marital work in my ministry, and often I use the 5 love languages by Gary Chapman, some of you may have read it, to help couples to understand how to meet the love language of their spouse instead of guessing at it. Now, this is coming up on Valentine's Day, so I'm going to take the advantage of talking a little bit about marriage. I want to go over some of these love languages. According to Gary Chapman, the author, the acts of service is one of the love languages. Some people, when you serve them in some way like that, just feel so loved. And each person in a marriage has a strong affinity for one or the other, and here are the other 4. And it's important to know your spouse's love language. And if you don't know, see me. I'll help you figure that out. Here are the other 4. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, physical touch. You see, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, given in chapter 5 though through 7 in Matthew's Gospel, could be called lifestyles in the kingdom of God. But I'd like to say that it could also be called lifestyles of successful marriages. Divorce is high in our nation, and it's growing, and it's destroying families all over the place. It's real. When the number one love language is not met, what I have seen is that forbidden anger begins to emerge, simmering in someone's heart and soul in all kinds of ways. And Jesus named them in his text today, and he didn't try to replace what the law of Moses allowed for. He went into the spirit of each person. Now, this angered the religious leaders. Who is he? The law says we can do this, but who is he to talk about that? It's caused by something deeper in the heart, and to call it sin. You see, what we learned last week, that salt cleanses and stings when put on an open wound. And Jesus invited us, the disciples and us, to be the salt, to bring that purity and that zest to the relationships that we have in this world, and to be the light to shine in the darkness. And so as this salt is cleansing and even stinging some open wounds in our life, sometimes it's in our marriages that there are some wounds that need a little bit of salt. Sometimes it's just knowing what that love language is of our partner. It calls attention, you see, to brokenness. And we learned last week that it only takes a little bit of salt to flavor the whole meal and flavor the lives of others around us. Now, the salt may be needed for the wounds in us that need healing, and Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those who are bruised, and that includes those who we are married to, especially that them and the ones that we are closest to. You see, bruises and broken hearts speak of an internal injury that is bleeding. And sometimes the soul is bleeding within the context of many marriages across America. I see it all the time. And this can cause continual bouts of anger, depression, manipulation, and even panic. A wounded heart can create a kind of anger that has a dark outcome. Jesus pretty much says it like it is. He's never content with surface stuff or legalism and doesn't waste any time parsing out theory or theology. He gets right down to it. He said, "You have heard it said." And boy, did we get a straightforward answer on whatever we've been ignoring in this text today. And then he brings three of God's commandments right into our living rooms, and he says, pay attention. Pay attention to your hearts so that you avoid sin. Pay attention to your relationships, your marriages, and if you're not married, to those who are you are closest with. Pay attention. You see, he didn't bring it all up to us to oppress us with more rules to follow, but to invite us into a life of freedom where the heart is free to love and to be loved, where the kingdom of heaven is seen in the home and in the community of faith, where we can have righteous anger. Oh yes, we can have righteous anger that hisses rather than bites people. Now, we are told that a rattlesnake, if cornered, will bite itself. Anger and resentment are kind of like that. They're destructive, not only to others, but also to ourselves. Know the difference between righteous anger and forbidden anger. Righteous anger does not harm. Jesus said, turn the other cheek, but he didn't say be a doormat. He wasn't a doormat. He got angry. Remember how he drove out the tax collectors out of the temple, throwing over tables? So we can conclude that there is a place for anger in our lives. We were wrong if we take these words to mean that all anger is sin, because it's not. Paul tells us, be angry and do not sin, in Ephesians 4:26. There are times when expressing our anger is the proper thing to do. We can hiss at poverty and disease in the world. We can hiss at unfair things that we see. We can hiss at division among the brethren. We must hiss against the tyranny of any kind that we see. We can hiss at our spouse or even a friend who doesn't take the trash out for us, if that's your love language. But do not bite, because biting hurts. It's like a slap across the face. Most of us don't kill other people, but many of us might be carrying around murderous thoughts all day long. And those thoughts turn to words, and those words can bite people. So become a light that turns things around. The way out is to hiss with love. The way out is forgiveness, or making amends and being reconciled as much as it is possible with you. The way out is to return to your worship with peace. That's a choice that we heard in Sirach today. That's a choice. Happy Valentine's, happy Love Day to all of you. Amen.